about temptation. If I put, I need to be gently nice here. If I took some dirt and I got up here and I got some big clods of dirt and I mixed this dirt all up and I said, okay, who wants to come eat this? Hopefully, unless you want to be on that show, what's a crazy, don't watch this stuff about people crazy eating pattern, eating snails, and it's crazy stuff. People, I eat the foam out of my bed mattress. I was like, people get paid? Anyway, I don't know if I believe, hopefully most of that's not true, but people are strange. Anyway, I eat soap detergent. They take it to the doctor and say, how long can I live eating this? So they're like, well, anyway, I'm like, sometimes, I don't encourage you to watch that mess, but every once in a while, you're flipping through the channel and you say, these people are crazy. Anyhow, and why can you say, you're not tempted, right? You're not tempted. If I had a big chocolate cake, the kind that Nicole makes that has all this icing dripping on it and little cookies all around it and all this stuff, and I just cut a piece, I said, does anybody want a piece of cake? A majority of you would be up here. I tempted you. But wait a minute, I had my dirt. They're both chocolate. Why did you go after the cake and not the dirt? It tastes better. When did you eat dirt last? All the boys are going, well, I'm not going to like dirt. And do you see what I'm saying? There is a temptation behind, there's a temptation before sin. There's a temptation before sin. So we try to deal with sin when we need to deal with temptation. Amen? So one of the things I wanted us to see is let's go to the Lord's Prayer for a second. Let's see. Luke 11. Let's go to Luke 11. Okay, right there at the beginning. Okay. And it happened as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, now I think you ought to really study this. I'm not going to go into this tonight. I have teaching on it. But if this is something his disciples asked him, just think about it. If you had God himself sitting there and you could ask him to teach you to pray. And that's what happened here. And that's what he did here. And Jesus says, when you pray, which makes an assumption, doesn't it? That you're going to pray. When you pray, say. Now, this isn't a formula, because if you know the heart of God, he doesn't make formulas. So I'm going to go quickly over this, but there's some really powerful teaching on this. Our Father who is in heaven, holy, hallowed be your name. Okay? And the first thing Jesus is saying, when you pray, know who you're praying to. Know that you have a God who sees himself as your Father. That's the kind of God you have. You have a God who doesn't want you to call him anything but Father. He wants you to recognize you're a child. He wants you to recognize he'll take care of you. He wants you to recognize he unconditionally loves you. He wants you to recognize that you are privileged to have a God who is a Father for you. And we're not going to get into it, but that's why the enemy tries to make us hate our fathers, make us not be good fathers, destroy all that kind of thing. So we can't understand how to pray. Because if Jesus says, I'm going to teach you to pray, the first thing you have to have is a revelation of a heavenly Father. And you have no concept of Father being associated with something good. You're going to have a hard time praying. Okay, but we're not talking about, that's not tonight's topic, but we'll be. It's on teaching somewhere and we'll get to it. Okay, but let's get past that just to get the temptation part, okay? He says, you got to recognize that the Father is in heaven, that he has a throne in heaven, and he's holy, powerful, wonderful, awesome, mighty. Then it says, let your kingdom come. And I'm not going to get into this detail, but we're talking about this on Sundays. But kingdom means rulership and reign. Lord, let your rulership come. You be the ruler of my life. You be in charge of my life. You take over. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. I want what you want. If you really mature, you actually get to a place where you lose selfish ambition and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And so when you really say, God, I don't really care what I do or don't do. I just want your will. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to have? What do you want me to do? What? Don't let me miss you, God. I want your will. I want your will with my family. I want your will with church. I want your will with everything in my life. I just want to be in your will. Amen? And he keeps you in his will if you desire to be in his will. But has anybody else recognized this kind of a rocky road sometimes when you want to be in his will and your flesh doesn't? Or your hurt places want to run from his will? Or everything in you that's been placed in you that needs to be sanctified out of you wants anything but to agree with God's will. Amen? But a heart that says, no, I agree with your will. Let your kingdom come, because when your kingdom comes and we're going to agree with your will, there's going to be some changes going on in my heart. Amen? Let your will be done on earth just as your will is done in heaven. And I'm just going to say this because I just really don't like wrong doctrine. Nowhere in Scripture ever does it say that heaven is going to come to the earth. I'm just being honest. It doesn't say it. What it says, we need to know what it says, because whenever we're saying something that it doesn't say, then the enemy is trying, I think, to get us away from what it really says. What it says is there, God wants his kingdom to come inside of us when we recognize him as a father, and he wants his kingdom in us to produce his will right here on the earth. He wants his will in your relationships. He wants his will in your family. He wants his will for your job. He wants his will for what church you're in. He wants his will for how many children you have and what you name them. He wants his will on this earth. He doesn't want you to wait till you die and go to heaven to start having his will. Amen? And it's his kingdom, his power, his glory, his reign, his Holy Spirit, everything that the kingdom is about, which is hours of teaching. Weeks and months and years of teaching. Amen? He wants all of that to come into your life to bring his will into your life on this earth. Amen? And just like you're going to have when you get to heaven. Amen? Just like it's going to be in heaven. That's what we're talking about in our group. When you get to heaven, the things you don't do in heaven, you're not tempted to do in heaven. God wants to get you to a place where you're not tempted to do them here on this earth. Amen? All right. Then he goes on. Give us our needful bread according to a day. What is this? This is LAV. This is the one. Give us our needful bread according to the day. Give us this day our daily bread. So we know that. Lord, take care of my needs. Feed me. Take care of my needs. There's other scriptures. He knows everything you need before you even ask. Amen? Also spiritually, give me spiritual bread. Give me spiritual teaching. Let me get a revelation for right now today, God. Okay? Then he says, forgive us our sins, and we ourselves will forgive everyone who sinned against us. And if you keep reading, there's a catch there. If you don't forgive, you aren't forgiven. So you have to deal with bitterness, or you're going to be turned over to the tormentors. How many things being turned over to the tormentors doesn't sound good? How many things would be better to learn how to forgive and let God go deep enough in our hearts to make forgiveness real? Because if there's no real, you can say the words, but if it's not real in your heart, the tormentor still has a way in. And you won't have peace. And you won't live in victory. So he's serious about God's going to forgive us our sins, and we have to forgive everyone who sinned against us. And this is the part I wanted to get to. Lord, bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. He has the revelation of God, help me not be tempted. God cannot tempt. The Bible says God cannot tempt anyone with evil. So if God cannot tempt us with evil, to read this to say, God, please don't tempt me with evil, wouldn't make any sense, right?